There are many, many interesting things in our scripture today. I really believe if I wanted to, I could preach at least three sermons from today's scripture. Now, I know that you didn't bring a lunch, so I'm not going to do that. But we are going to talk about a few of the interesting things about it. I have decided that there is so much here that we're going to concentrate on this passage Wednesday night when we have our Bible study time together. So if you come Wednesday night, read over this passage a time or two and come with your own thoughts and questions. This passage to me opens up so many questions. Things that I don't begin to understand. One thing, as an example, that I'm not going to talk about today, but we will Wednesday night, is why didn't the disciples recognize Jesus? This is the third time that they've seen him. He speaks to them, but no one thinks, hey, it's Jesus. They've even gone through the same thing with Jesus before, and they still didn't think, maybe it's Jesus. They didn't recognize him. That's just strange to me. Why? What does that mean? None of them, all three times. And throw Mary in there at the tomb, and there's four. So that's my plug for Wednesday night. Come and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But I do want us to look at this chapter, and I want us to start by keeping in mind that the 21st chapter of John appears to read differently from the rest of John. Now, there are many people, theologians, that think perhaps it was written later, maybe even by someone else. We don't know. But it does appear to be kind of an epilogue. So keep that in mind as we think about it. I want to talk about the disciples themselves and where they found themselves. They've been hiding out. They've been afraid to go out in public. But obviously they've gotten over that with Jesus' help. And Peter says, I'm going fishing. Now keep in mind that they've given up fishing. They followed Jesus, and Jesus promised to make them fishers of men, not fishers of fish. And so Peter says, I'm going fishing. He doesn't say, hey, let's all go fishing. He says, I'm going. But evidently the rest jumped in to join him. I don't know if you've ever found yourself in a really difficult place. I'm guessing you have. Maybe it's having lost a loved one or a relationship or having a difficult time at work and the walls seem to be closing in on you. I can understand for some going fishing might be the thing to do. Not for me, but for some of you. But in most cases, when you're in a stressful time, the easiest thing to do is to go to what's familiar. I feel like that's probably what Peter needed. He needed to get away from the events that had taken place, and he needed some normalcy. He may have needed to be alone. He didn't get that. But he needed to go to something that he knew. I remember all the years of taking piano lessons. And I would get to a piece that would be really difficult and it would really be frustrating me to no end. And my piano teacher would stop me and say, let's do our scales. And we would play our scales and we would play our scales and we would play our scales until the frustration had passed. Oh, how I hated practicing scales. But you knew what? You know what? I knew them. And they were comfortable when I was frustrated. and I could take a little break and go to what was familiar, and then I could get back into the flow and back into the peace, and it gave me what I needed to move forward a little further. So maybe Peter and the others just needed that familiar thing to get back to something that they knew, that they something they could do without really thinking. Fish. But what they thought they knew better than anything else didn't work. They fished all night long. It didn't say that they caught little fish. It didn't say that they caught bad fish. It said they caught zero, zip, nada, nothing. That had to be frustrating. These guys were pros. They knew what they were doing. All night and nothing. Now, I know a few fishermen. My husband would really like to be more of a fisherman, I think. But I know that catching nothing is real disappointing. And it wasn't as though the disciples were throwing out a line and not catching. They were throwing out nets and not catching. Can you imagine? They weren't catching anything. I can't imagine the frustration they must have felt. And then someone, a total stranger, standing on the side of the beach, yells out, "You're on the wrong side." Here's another one of my questions. Why did they do it? Why did they go to the other side? I mean, I think if I'd been the person who had made a living being a fisherman, and I'd been fishing all night long, and someone I thought was a stranger said, "Drop your net on the other side," I would have given them a piece of my mind. We've been out here all night fishing every side we could find, and there's nothing out here. But that's not what they did. They dropped their nets on the other side. And what happens? An abundance, more than they could imagine. Perhaps that's part of the miracle, is that they did what the stranger suggested. But that's the moment that they recognized who it was. Oh, it's Jesus. Interesting that it's here that Jesus appears. When the disciples are tired and frustrated and confused, ready to give up, and Jesus appears. He didn't make an appointment. He didn't come when it was convenient, like early in the night. He didn't come when they first decided to go fishing. He interrupts their daily life. Isn't that what Jesus does for us? Interrupts us. Shows up when we least expect him. Not when it's convenient. When he's needed. The disciples were confused when Jesus was with them. They were confused when Jesus was with them every single day. And they were always asking questions and showing them. Jesus was showing them how they were to live and what they were to do. But now they still have questions and Jesus is not with them. So they're suffering. They're hurting. So when he shows up, and when the one whom Jesus loves says it's Jesus, Peter doesn't hesitate. He grabs his clothes because he was naked. That's another question we're going to talk about Wednesday night. He grabs his clothes and he jumps in the water and he swims to shore. Now, we all know that Peter hadn't had a whole lot of luck in the water previously with Jesus. He had sunk. But now he jumps out of the boat, can't wait to get to Jesus. And when he gets to shore and he sees Jesus and he sees the charcoal fire, then he goes to help the others unload that 153 fish. Big fish, it says. So here we are again on the side of the shore next to the Sea of Tiberias. When we were last here, there was another meal served, if you remember. A small boy brings a few loaves and a few fishes. And Jesus takes those loaves and feeds 5,000, and there are 12 basketfuls left over. Abundance. And here we are with just a few of the disciples and Jesus, and they catch 153 fish. Abundance provided by Christ. More than can possibly be used, more than their nets should have been able to hold. And yet they got to shore without a single tear. In our most frustrated, confused, helpless times, when we follow, Christ is with us and loves us abundantly. The disciples have to be more in shock and more confused than ever. And Jesus, just like an ordinary day in life, says, "Come, sit. I've built a fire. I've made you breakfast." And when they finish breakfast, Jesus turns to Peter and he speaks to him. And he calls him Simon. Simon. Not Simon Peter, which he named him, but Simon. Now that had to sting a little. Simon had to be saying to himself, "Okay, he's still hanging on to that denial thing. What do I do now?" And Jesus says, "Do you love me?" Now, there are several words used for love in the Bible, but this time Jesus uses the word that we've come to know as agape. You know, the type of love that Christ has for us, abundant and unconditional love. And Peter responds to Jesus, "Yes, I love you." But Peter uses the word phileo, which means love between friends. Jesus asked again in the same manner, "Do you love me?" Agape. And Peter responds again, "Yes, Jesus, I love you." Phileo. Phileo. Phileo, the only love that Peter was capable of understanding. And Peter responded again. And then Jesus asked Peter a third time, "Do you love me?" But this time Jesus uses that same term that Simon Peter understands. Phileo. "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, Jesus, you know that I love you." I find that so very significant, that Christ loves us with a love that honestly we can't begin to understand and we can't begin to return. A love full of abundance, with no strings, no rules, just love. And we can't understand that. And we can only return love in a fraction of the way that Jesus loves us. And Jesus says, that's okay. I understand. And I love you abundantly. What an amazing gift. Love beyond measure. And so little ask in return. What is asked in return? Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. Go into this world and take care of one another. So many describe this as Peter's opportunity to break even with Jesus. He denied Jesus 3 times, and so he gave Peter the opportunity to declare his love for him 3 times. That may be the case. I don't know. I'm not sure that I think Jesus was trying to play some sort of game. Maybe it was what Peter needed, and Jesus knew that. But we so often want things to go a certain way. We want order. We want purpose. We want roles and responsibility. And we squeeze all that we can out of a day, and we still feel inadequate at the end of them. And sometimes we put that expectation on Christ. We want God to perform some function in our lives rather than be the source of our life. In the midst of our distractions, in the midst of our betrayals, in the midst of our disappointments, Jesus just shows up. To converse, to question, to stretch us, to see if we're loving him, to see if we are feeding his sheep and tending his lambs. Jesus acted as if this is just an ordinary day, and the disciples are in the midst of catching and swimming and eating and feeding and confusion. And Jesus is there, bringing the holy into a very ordinary space in a very awkward time, making sure Peter and the others knew that they were loved abundantly, that they belonged to him. No matter what had happened or what would happen, they were his followers, his friends, and he loved them. And I dare say that's exactly what they needed that day. May we be open and aware enough every day to recognize Christ in our midst. And may we be willing to enter holy ground even in the busiest of times or in the quietest times, knowing that we belong in the presence of God all our life, always. Amen.